Well, what's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We're coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. And Free Talk Live, by the way, is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash with fees of less than a penny per transaction. Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. And of course, I'm gonna go ahead and get both of these, let you know about both of these sponsors just right out the gate here, and then we're going to get through 3 hours of content right quick. And this one, I got to tell you that I messed up because I started a savings account a few years ago, put a bunch of money in it, and then I never looked at it again. And it's worth like 20% less now than it used to be because the government punishes you for keeping your wealth in cash or in a savings account. How they do that? They do that with inflation. Inflation is a tax on savers. It's systematic erosion of your wealth. As you know, items that cost $10 today could cost $15 tomorrow, but your savings account will still have the same amount of money in it, no matter how much those prices change, and it's losing all of its purchasing power. The founders of Noble Gold have had more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They've secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients, which is exciting because gold is a hedge against inflation. It's steady when inflation is on the rise and the dollar's in turmoil. If you want to find out more, you can go to noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. Why GML? That's because Charlie and I do a show every day of the week called Good Morning Liberty. So that's what we're called during the week, during the day, every day of the week. And on Tuesday nights on the Free Talk Live Network, we're called Liberty at Night. So if you want to find all of our episodes, you could search Good Morning Liberty in your favorite podcast app, or you could go to BernieLies.com in your browser. We also have a live group where we're chatting back and forth. You'll hear us talking to people. That's called the Fed Haters Club. And you can get there if you're interested by going to joingml.com. We talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week on Good Morning Liberty. We are here to tell the truth, to debunk the myths, and to shill for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That is our only purpose in life, you know?
Well, this podcast is a bloodbath.
It is. This last week was a bloodbath, honestly. But this week's going to be a lot better, okay? Of course, we're going to be talking about this thing that happened over the weekend that reminds me a lot of the very fine people on both sides situation. It reminds me a lot of that.
Except worse.
And if it's your first
worse.
If it's your first time listening, we're Good Morning Liberty. We talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to. I'm saying this if it's your first time listening. I didn't vote for Donald Trump either time. I don't plan on voting for him this time unless he's in prison. I've always wanted to vote for someone who's in prison. So it's bucket list kind of item. So if he's in prison, I'll vote for him. Charlie also did not vote for Trump either time.
Nope.
And don't know if you're going to this time or not. You know, that's a personal choice. We'll see.
I'm undecided.
See who the libertarians have out there. See if it's an actual libertarian.
Undecided.
Yes. He's a very important undecided voter. Yeah.
Call me.
Mm-hmm. Do you get polls?
No.
Do you ever get polled on things?
I don't, but I should because I am undecided.
Okay, so like I said, what happened over the weekend reminded me of the very fine people comments. And if you aren't up on the actual truth of that situation, there was that narrative, still a narrative, still a thing that people say, that Trump said the neo-Nazis were very fine people when it came to that Charlottesville riot. When you look at the actual transcript of the speech after he says that, like four sentences later, he says, "I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis because they should be condemned totally." He talks about the other groups of people that were there, but the media just went with the very fine people part and said that he was referring to neo-Nazis. And you have millions of people around the country that thinks that he called neo-Nazis very fine people. When you can
still look, to this day,
you can look at the transcript of the speech and see that he did not. And that he not only did he not, he specifically said that he did not. And then he called them out and said that they should be condemned totally. But that part, of course, was not reported way back when that happened. I don't remember what year that was that that happened. I don't know, 2017 or something like that.
2018, maybe.
Sometime back in the good old days, you know, back in that time. Okay, yeah. So what happened over the weekend was Trump gave a speech somewhere. I don't even know where it was. And the quote.
Dayton, Ohio.
It says it
right there.
It says it right up there. The quote is, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. There's your quote. Mm. No context necessary on this quote whatsoever. This is from ACYN. I don't know if that stands for something or if you're supposed to say it as a word, like
ASIN
or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're supposed to say that. When you go to this specific video, you'll see it has 20.7 million views. So this is where this originally broke. It's a 17-second clip, okay? Let me see. Okay, sorry. I'm just looking at what's getting posted in a live group right now. So let's play the clip for some context of what we are talking about right now.
If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine.
Now, if you think he's just talking about how it's going to be a bloodbath if he doesn't get elected, you might be confused about why he starts talking about selling cars right afterwards. Like, what
and his friend.
What are you talking about?
Right.
You know, selling cars.
They're going to use cars for the bloodbath.
Okay. Or like it'll be the bloodbath is going to be so much filled with blood that you won't be able to sell cars. Because cars don't work well
full of blood
under water or blood.
Yeah.
I've never tried it myself, but I hear cars don't work in bloodbaths.
Yeah.
Okay. So that must be what he's talking about. Like that's the only thing I can derive from that. that's all I can figure out.
And that'll go on the Carfax, by the way.
It will.
When you look it up, this car was submerged in a bloodbath. Mm-hmm.
Bloodbath 2024.
Due to Trump losing the presidency.
You're not going to be able to sell that car.
It's on the Carfax.
There we go. We got to the bottom of what he was saying.
Yeah.
Right there. So, of course, the truth teller, Mehdi Hasan, who is becoming like public enemy number one to me in my mind. He's surpassing Robert Reich and Bernie Sanders and people like that to me. And it's because he's specifically starting a media organization whose stated goal is to tell the truth and debunk the myths. And
facts.
All of that stuff. And...
But he's taken our idea from the pre-show. If you're not part of that, by the way, go to joingmail.com. We devised a whole plan to become rich in the pre-show.
Mm-hmm. That's a foolproof plan. I mean, it would work.
It would.
It literally would work.
I'm starting on the book today.
If anyone wants to do this, you should do this. But you have to listen. You have to go to joingmail.com and join the Fed Haters Club if you want to get multi-million dollar ideas like the one that we just told everyone about. Beforehand,
that's a perk. That's one of the perks.
We just hand out $1 million.
I know someone from the group showed up 20 minutes late and they were like, oh nice, I didn't miss the show.
Yeah, but we just started.
But you missed the pre-show.
Cost you $1 million at least,
which is that's the best part of it all. That's what she said.
Yeah,
the pre-show.
Mehdi Hasan says totally normal, non-violent stuff to say when you've already incited an armed insurrection.
An armed insurrection.
Yeah, now it's armed. I saw a lot of people that had arms out there.
Yeah.
You know, now there was some, I'm not going to lie.
Even one guy had a bear arm mask. He had a bear mask.
True. I'm not going to lie, though. There were probably some people there that didn't have arms that were there. And if your dad was there, it'd be people with no legs either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, sure. There, a lot of people in the crowd that day had arms. And so that's the truth teller, Mehdi Hasan, right there. Rob Reiner, he's a guy that you're supposed to listen to. Okay, because he's an actor, and so you should take him seriously when he says things. Go ahead, Charlie.
Why
does he remind me of your dad? I don't know why.
This guy, does he not have legs as well?
No, I've only seen, for some reason, he reminds me of your dad.
Okay.
Or like his like in Wolf of Wall Street, for some reason, I feel like your dad could slip in and play
Oh, he looks like the dad from the Wolf of Wall Street.
He is the dad from Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah. That's why he looks like him.
Yeah, he looks just like him, exactly like him.
All right, Trump continually calls for the insurrectionists hostages and celebrates with them with the national anthem. He says if he loses the election, there will be a bloodbath. America, wake the F up.
Mm. Okay. There we go. So he
said the F word rhymes with truck. But he can't say it on the radio.
These words are important where he says he calls the insurrectionist hostages. So you're talking about people that have been put in prison because of January 6th. Oddly enough, none of them charged with insurrection at all.
At all, yeah.
You would think an insurrectionist would get charged with insurrection.
Since it's part of the penal code.
Yeah, so literally there's a law about it and it's illegal, but none of them charged with insurrection. But you got to call them insurrectionists so you can say that they're that him calling insurrectionists hostages is a bad thing, when in fact they're not insurrectionists because they weren't charged with insurrection and they're just people that have gotten ridiculously long prison sentences for participating in a riot when I thought riots were fine, like all of them probably thought too.
I think the problem is they didn't set fire to the Capitol building.
Yeah, that is the problem.
Or the rain. If they would have set fire to the Capitol building or the rain.
Either one.
They would have been fine, I bet.
The Lincoln Project, which is like a Democrat operative Republican think tank or whatever they are. I don't know. I don't know what they do. Here's the quote. If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. Okay. They say he's taken a political party and transformed it into a cult of political violence and chaos. The only way to stop the madness is to vote against him in November.
Now, part of that is true. He's taken a political party and transformed it into a cult.
So you stop.
Just stop right there. It is, yes. The Trumpism is extremely cultish.
It is.
You know?
It is.
This guy, like, could do or say anything, and it's never wrong to these people.
Mm-hmm.
That is a perfectly well thought out argument.
Like he just said that if he loses, it's going to be like taking a bath in blood. And everyone's fine with that, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you know it's a cult.
There were bathtubs filled with blood across the country over the weekend.
In preparation.
Yeah. With their firstborn son filling up the bathtub. Uh-huh.
What are you going to do? Trump said so. So, I mean, you got to listen to what he says. Yeah. And this, you know, it reminds me, it's so
he's going to impregnate all their wives.
I know I started by saying, like, we didn't vote for Trump. And we just said that he's got a cult. Okay. Why are we doing an episode where we're just out here defending Trump?
Because you don't even need to go. All this does actually, I think, is help.
Mm-hmm.
When they do this sort of thing, all it does is actually help Trump.
Yeah. I agree.
Because it gets people talking about it. And most people, now there are a few dumb people who are going to read this and believe it.
I think most is going to be a strong word here. But well, yeah,
let's say
ahead.
At least all of his base, mm-hmm. and then most normal people, I would say in the middle, would be like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
It's not what he said. He didn't say that.
I hope the word most qualifies there, but
I said most normal people in the middle.
Very fine people, or are they not fine?
I don't know. I personally don't know them.
Okay. Well, because there's very fine people on both sides in this thing, I think.
I'm talking about the middle, though, not the sides.
Okay.
You know?
NBC News.
From the bottom up,
mm-hmm.
not top down.
In the middle out?
Middle. Yes.
Okay.
My middle goes out. Yes.
NBC News says a former president.
This is where it gets ridiculous.
Yeah. When the mainstream news.
The mainstream media.
Former President Donald Trump vowed at a rally that there would be a bloodbath if he's not reelected in November. That's it. That's all you need to know.
1.5 million views from NBC News.
And you know how it's all, because this is the headline and this is the Twitter post. And basically, no one's going to actually click in the article. They do actually give a little bit of context and say that he was talking about Chinese cars being imported and tariffs and stuff like that.
Being manufactured.
They give
Mexico.
Some context. Mm-hmm. But the point is, this sentence right here is all that matters, because that's all that most people are going to read. I just tried to highlight it in a screenshot, so that's not going to work. MSNBC, of course, says Trump says there will be a bloodbath if he loses the election. And that's exactly what he said. I mean, you know, that's a little bit more. He did say there's going to be a bloodbath if he loses the election.
on cars.
Yes, in the auto industry,
yeah.
And maybe the economy as a whole. So anyhow, that's from MSNBC. From Politico, Trump says country faces bloodbath if Biden wins in November. Okay. Nice little graphic from CBS News. You know, you make these quotes. We make quotes. You know, we put Milton Friedman and we put a quote next to it, or Thomas Sowell or whatever. They made a nice little Trump quote thing. Charlie, what's it say?
I just noticed his hat says 45-47.
Oh, nice.
He said, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Thanks for reading that quote. We hadn't heard it yet.
Donald Trump.
I know. Yeah. Donald Trump. That's a great quote right there. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden. He's running for president, and he has some.
First, he shares off, this. From
he's retweeting Biden-Harris headquarters,
yeah,
the campaign HQ, who says, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. Just going to keep saying this. And Charlie, what's he say?
It's clear this guy wants another January 6th, but the American people are going to give him another resounding electoral defeat this November.
Okay. Now, they put out a more official statement, Charlie. So here you go.
Okay. The Biden-Harris campaign statement on Trump promising bloodbath if he loses, quote, tonight, Donald Trump said there would be a bloodbath if he wasn't elected and that if he lost, there would be no more elections. What?
I didn't hear that part either. Maybe he did say that. That's very possible because we just see clips going around on the internet. Now, him saying that, I did see multiple people mention this no more elections thing. I literally hear from the left and Democrats all the time that this is the last election. If Trump wins, he's going to be a dictator. There's not going to be any more elections. Yeah. Like, you hear that all the time. But if he did say that there's going to be no more elections, I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
After opening the general election by meeting with authoritarian leaders and rallying alongside conspiracy theorists, Donald Trump continues to praise dictators. Like Xi Jinping, you know, he praises him.
He did say Xi Jinping was
a friend.
Yeah, he did say that.
He's like, he's a friend, but he doesn't like the way I deal.
Yeah. You know, even as a guy who didn't vote for Trump and probably isn't going to vote for him this time, I always thought that the way he handled dictators was smart, like from a negotiation standpoint, because if you know anything about these psychotic, narcissistic dictators that are running these countries, they are going to respond, you're going to have a lot more likelihood of being able to negotiate with those people.
If you kind of pander get what you to want,
if you pander a little bit and you say that they're smart or you say that you're friends, you say stuff like, if you don't just have this combative tone with them all the time, you're a lot more likely to be able to have diplomacy with those people. And I think that's better. So I don't know. It's just me.
Yeah. Cause you can't change the person. So if you stroke their ego a little bit, hey, it works.
It does work.
Stroke their ego a little
bit. Absolutely works.
All right. Let's see. Donald Trump continues to praise dictators, promises to pardon political violence, and launch racist attacks against black and brown Americans.
Now, promises the part. So he's talking about pardoning January 6th people.
Yes.
Now, what about people in the BLM riots getting bailed out after they were like burning down buildings and stuff like that?
Well, celebrities donated to that, Nate. So it's different.
I kind of feel like one of the people listed on here was actually trying to help people raise money for bail funds for people that were committing political violence. I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
No.
She didn't say bloodbath or anything.
I would say your feelings are true, but not in this instance.
Okay.
Of course, he's launching racist attacks against black and brown Americans.
Of course.
Yeah. I like how they've now capitalized black, but not brown. So you brown people are lesser than black. It's why last night Trump's own former Vice President Mike Pence, who Trump supporters called to hang for not overturning the election, came out against Trump. This is who Donald Trump is, a loser who gets beat by over 7 million votes. And then instead of appealing to a wider mainstream audience, doubles down on his threats of political violence. He wants another January 6th, but the American people are going to give him another electoral defeat this November because they continue to reject his extremism, his affection for violence, and his thirst for revenge.
Mm. And just keep in mind for the end of the show, keep in mind how important the January 6th narrative is throughout this, because we're going to talk about
something. Didn't we say that they would use the January 6th?
Of course. On January 6th. we said that the happiest people that day were Democrats. And in fact, I think I said that Democrats were having to hide their pants tent right now because they were, this was perfect for them because they were going to be able to use this in perpetuity. Politico says, Trump says country faces bloodbath if Biden wins in November. Now, I do want to give them a little bit of credit right here on their sub headline or whatever you call this thing that's underneath the headline all the time. They said, while it was unclear what the former president meant exactly, the remarks came as Trump was complaining about the automobile industry. Everyone's perplexed about this. We just, it's unclear. We just can't figure it out what he meant exactly. I don't know about you, Charlie, but I'm having a hard time figuring this out. Let me see. Do we have an ad? We do have an ad. Charlie, when's the last time we did like a live ad?
Right now.
Right now is the last time?
This is when we're going to do it.
Now, how important do you think the Constitution is, by the way?
The most important.
I think it's pretty important, okay? Now, we can spend a whole lot of time trying to research all this stuff on our own and all that and just kind of willy-nilly trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Or you can go somewhere like Hillsdale College, okay? They're offering more than 40 free courses covering some of the most important subjects. You can learn about C.S. Lewis, stories in the books of Genesis, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, and the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. That's all available on Hillsdale College's free online courses. Actually free. You go there, you just sign up, you can do free courses. 40.
So if your Roman Empire is the Roman Republic Empire, you can actually go learn about it for free. We personally recommend that you check out and sign up for Constitution 101, the meaning and history of the U.S. Constitution. It's a great 12-lecture course. It's fantastic. This is a self-paced course, meaning you go at your own pace.
Yeah, you know, it's not like, oh, I've got class on Tuesday. Sorry, I can't be there.
No,
it's
but not, you could like tell that. Your friends that.
You could.
If you wanted to get out of something for all you introverts.
You could.
Out there. You'd be like, oh, I can't. I got class.
I got Constitution 101 exactly. On Tuesday at 8 a.m.
Hillsdale.edu/GML. That's Hillsdale, Hillsdale.edu/GML.
Boom. Nailed it.
Boom.
Okay, so let's get into some of the actual truth and provide some context.
I can't make the show tomorrow.
Here.
I've got class.
You got class. You got Constitution 101.
That's right.
At whatever time the show is.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a good idea. All right. Coming up, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. That's just the first segment. We're going to talk more about this bloodbath that Trump was talking about, of course, and then stuff about migrants, and then Dumb Bleep of the Week on Liberty Unite on the Free Talk Live Network.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on join the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Well, what's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? We are back, Liberty Unite with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and the multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. Well, if you're just now joining us, we've been talking for half an hour already. By we, I mean myself and Charles Chuck Thompson with Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. But got to remind you that Charlie and I have a daily show called Good Morning Liberty, where we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning. Today, we just recorded episode number 1199. That's pretty crazy. Okay. I'm not going to do a full read or anything, but I do want to tell you to visit one of our great sponsors if you want to learn more about what they do, Noble Gold Investments. It's a great one because we know the government punishes all of us for keeping our wealth in cash or in a savings account through inflation, which is a tax on savers. That's the systematic erosion of your wealth. You know that the price of goods just continues to go up and your savings account still has the same amount of money in it. But Noble Gold, they've got more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They've secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients. Okay, if you want to find out more, if you want to, you can go to noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. That's where you would go to find out more. noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. So we've been talking about this Trump bloodbath from the weekend. And let me tell you, it's a doozy, just like fine people on both sides. Okay, let's get to some of the actual longer clips of this whole thing. Let me find it right quick for you. Here's one. All right, let's get some more context on this clip.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years.
Let me see. Yeah.
34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country, think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line.
Terrible idea,
and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine.
Okay. I don't know about you, man, but it's pretty GD obvious what he's talking about in
it's
this.
It's not,
thing,
honestly, but because look, he talked about cars.
Okay.
And then to mask the bloodbath comments.
Oh, that was all a setup.
He slipped it in there.
Gotcha.
If I don't get elected, there's going to be a bloodbath. And then he goes back to cars.
So this was some 4D chess to actually met. The only planned part of this statement was that it's going to be a bloodbath if he doesn't win.
Exactly.
But he tried to mask it with the
but
car
Trump
conversation
is smart
around
enough
it.
To be like,
I got you.
I can't just say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to take that in context. I got to make sure they take it out of context.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
I got you.
So he was like, let me talk about
very smart
Chinese cars being made in Mexico. And I'm going to put 100% tariff on those if I get elected.
That checks out. That checks out.
If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. And by the way, Chinese cars made in Mexico with no border on Mexico. Remember, there's no border.
Yeah, no border.
So basically, Chinese, they're swooping in through Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be another Alamo.
The Chinese is.
It's a Chinese Alamo. That's going to happen. That's, you know, that's going to be part of the bloodbath.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
The Chinese Alamo.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're reading from my notes right there because that's exactly what I came up with. So a little bit more context, potentially helpful there. Let's see what else.
Hey, in the wake of this, what we should do probably is take a playbook out of FDR and go ahead and round up all the Chinese and put them in prison camps.
Yeah. That's.
Let's go ahead and put them in.
That was the next thing on my plan.
Let's put all the Chinese in camps so that they can't make cars in Mexico and sell them to America.
We'd be a bad libertarian podcast if we didn't mention that a 100% tariff on cars is a terrible idea.
So bad. It's so terrible.
Now, I know it's, I get the idea. So China likes to subsidize some of their industries so they can try and undercut other people. And in my opinion, I'm sorry. If China, now they're talking about electric cars, a lot of these things from that BYD or whatever the company is that's taken over right now. if they want to subsidize cars and make them cheaper for Americans, I think that that's okay. I mean, if
America wins.
We get cheaper cars.
The consumers win.
And they're paying for them, you know?
Right.
Okay, so I don't exactly see the downside unless you're just trying to protect a specific industry. More specifically, you're trying to protect the EV industry. So maybe like Elon Musk doesn't like this. Yeah. The American auto manufacturers lose money on all their EVs anyway. So that's not a real big deal right now. If they want to subsidize the price so we spend less money on cars and we have more money available for other things, and also people who are making cars that are way more expensive than other cars that we could get on the market could use their time more efficiently producing goods where our dollars go to their highest and best use. Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay. Whatever. That's fine if that's what you want to do. Okay. I won't mention a lot. We already talked about the tariff thing. Here's a nice little super cut.
Well, I'll go back real quick to the woke one more. So this was good in wokeness when they put this on and saw this on Twitter as well. They kind of lined up what the media narrative was and what the full context was. So, yeah.
And they said that we're witnessing the invention of the bloodbath hoax in real time. And it's a lot like the Very Fine People hoax, in my opinion. Here's a nice little, I love the internet. I just love that the internet can put everything out there for you. So on one of these, just let me find it. Here we go. Here's a bunch of people in the media talking about bloodbaths.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath. Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats.
A bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
It's going
to
be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath. May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
Possible Biden bloodbath this November.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath
in Alabama into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security.
And it's a bloodbath today.
There was going to be this bloodbath.
Election bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath for them.
Bloodbath, possibly.
Bloodbath that went through with the Attorney General.
Bloodbath 99 days out.
The bloodbath is going to look like
presided over a bloodbath in the diplomatic corps.
Absolute, in my opinion, bloodbath, the Democrats.
Or calling it a ticket sales turned into a bloodbath.
Ticket sales for singer Taylor Swift's latest tour.
It's safe to say the fans had a bloodbath for the company after the fiasco.
Yeah.
Who does it? I want to know what software they're using to find all this stuff. It's not like someone watched every news program that there was over the last 6 years or so. Found every instance that someone said bloodbath. Like who finds that stuff?
They're using something to scrape, so it could be it could be ChatGPT, something like that.
That's good. That's good stuff. But yeah, Trump meant bloodbath for sure. Just so you know, I believe I don't have these all perfectly arranged this morning. How about Joe Scarborough on the MSNBC?
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, our presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry. And this is one more. It's just, let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just, he knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
No, you're pretty dumb.
No, you're stupid.
You're the dumb one.
He was one of the people in that Supercut, by the way.
He was.
That's why he said sometimes bloodbath means bloodbath. And what he means is when he said bloodbath, he didn't mean bloodbath.
Right.
Okay, what else do we have in here as a clip? Mehdi Hasan says his supporters think Trump's bloodbath comment was taken out of context when the context was in the
not just his supporters, by the way. People who just like can read and understand words.
Yeah, logical, rational, reasonable people. Like
if you
people.
Just understand the English language, you understand context, like you just understand words. And, just normal people.
And you think this might be out of context.
It is.
Potentially.
Absolutely, yeah.
When the context was an entire speech in which he described migrants as animals and saluted January 6th insurrectionists. We'll talk about migrants as animals here in just a second. Totally normal, nonviolent speech from a man who isn't on trial for multiple crimes.
Not insurrection, by the way.
Huh?
He's not on trial
not insurrection, no.
None of them.
It's not one of the crimes that he's on trial for. Did I miss putting the Nancy Pelosi clip in here? I think I did.
Oh, no.
We got
because
a few seconds
he's even
here.
Predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? There's something wrong here. How respectful I am of the American people and their goodness. But how much more do they have to see from him to understand that this isn't what our country is about? Praising Hitler, praising the Russians because...
Praising Hitler?
Wow.
When did it turn into praising Hitler?
Oh, she's got some recent work done, though.
Did she?
Yeah. She's looking better.
Might give her a call.
I'm just saying, you know, recent work has actually tightened up her skin.
I want to move
on
to the migrants aren't people thing. This is from the same speech. So all of this really tells me that.
Well, so that was saying that he shouldn't get. So now he's the Republican nominee, which means he would start to get intel reports again.
Oh, okay.
So that's
dangerous.
Yeah. For him to get top secret information. Again.
Is that what she was talking about?
Yeah, because once
I heard was
That's what it said on the screen.
Okay.
Yeah. So once you are the nominee, then you start to get briefed on certain things.
Okay.
Which by the way, he obviously had the highest security clearance.
Yeah, he's already been the president.
He's already been the president. So
Yeah. He already knows where the aliens are buried.
Exactly.
You know. So after that, it looks to me like the media is getting super desperate. They pulled two things from the same speech and took them wildly out of context, which just says to me that they're reaching, that they have to create something, you know, like CBS Evening News. They need their own specific page for evening news. You know, you don't want to get daytime news when you're looking for the evening news.
No, I sleep during the day.
Yeah. Former President Donald Trump drew criticism on the campaign trail this weekend for saying that migrants are not people and warning of a bloodbath if he loses in November. Did you hear about the bloodbath thing?
No.
Okay.
I didn't hear about the bloodbath thing.
Well, let's go through it. No. The Huffington Post luckily gave me enough context that it piqued my interest. So thanks, Huffington Post. They said Donald Trump says he thinks some migrants are animals and not people. Now, key word there. There's a key word. What is it?
Some.
Mm-hmm. Now, before...
Probably like the rapist, drug traffickers.
Okay, I was going to say. Now, before we go into the actual clip, who do you think he's talking about?
The criminals.
Yeah. He's literally in a speech, in a paragraph, talking about MS-13 gang members. Just like from the last time, from 2015 or whatever year it was, when he said murderers and rapists coming across the border, you know, he was literally talking about MS-13 gang members coming across the border.
And or so the Sinaloa cartel.
Yeah,
or,
whoever it is.
Yeah.
That's who he's talking about. So Elon Musk, thank you, Elon Musk, posts out speech with full context. And
this
so
is
now,
why they want to shut Twitter down.
Yeah, this is why. They want
this
to,
has almost 60 million views. You can't have that.
This is why they want to ban TikTok, so they can then say that Elon Musk is indirectly controlled by China, so they can then say that Twitter is indirectly controlled by China and force him to sell his stake in Twitter. But anyway, that was last week. This is this week. Here's this clip.
Unbelievable when I see it going. But I got to know all these people. They're very smart, very streetwise. And I would do the same thing. If I had prisons that were teeming with MS-13 and all sorts of people that they've got to take care of for the next 50 years, right? Young people, they're in jail for years. If you call them people, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion. But I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. They say you have to vote against him because did you hear what he said about humanity? I've seen the humanity, and these humanity, these are bad. These are animals, okay? And we have to stop it. We can't have another Lakin. We have so many people. We have so many people being hurt so badly and being killed. They're sending their prisoners to see us. They're sending and they're bringing them right to the border and they're dropping them off and we're allowing them to come in. And these are tougher than anybody we've got in the country. These are hardened criminals. And we've got hundreds of thousands of them. And we're not going to take it. We're just not going to take it. We're destroying. They are destroying our country. I'm telling you, he's the worst president we've ever had.
Okay. Mm. As Magoo just put it, in some cases, MS-13 gang members are not people. That's how you could sum up what he just said.
Yeah.
He says that some of these people in MS-13, these people that are in the Mexican prisons, are animals.
He even said how the left would take it.
I can't say this.
I can't say it. Because if I did, they would tell me I'm a terrible person.
Oh,
he literally said that. And then...
So one speech gave
us... And then they still took it. They still took it.
Yeah.
He said it in the speech that they would take it out of context. And they still took it and ran with it. Not as much as the bloodbath one.
No, not as much.
But they still took it. They still took it.
Okay, last thing, just real fast. And we didn't talk about this last week. Remember, a lot of this has been in the context of January 6th. And of course, this orchestrated attempt by...
the live group said, invest now or it'll be a bloodbath.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, invest now for the coming economic bloodbath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your money, your dollar will be a bloodbath if you don't invest now.
Look at the chart. It's been a bloodbath.
Oh, that's so good.
I don't know. Maybe ads are more fun live, you know?
They are.
Anyhow, a lot of this has been in the context of January 6th. And of course, this orchestrated attempt, this orchestrated coup by Donald Trump to take over the U.S. government with people wielding flagpoles and fire extinguishers and cameras taking pictures and stuff like that and pooping on people's desks. You know, you guys know the thing. One thing from last week that we didn't talk about was that it came out that the January 6th panel, remember that whole sham show trial, January 6th investigation thing that they did that was literally produced by NBC, produced by a guy from NBC. It turns out that it looks like Liz Cheney, who was running that thing, actually withheld what in a normal trial would be known as exculpatory evidence, but in a TV show trial, I guess that's fine, but she withheld what would be exculpatory evidence. They interviewed 1,000 people, but we only have heard from about 400 of those interviews what actually came out. The rest of them, they didn't release. And remember we talked about how they had a bunch of stuff hidden and a password protected, encrypted drive and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, two things that we know, there was this report. Now, Trump wanted to go down to the Capitol and lead his soldiers so much that when he got in the limo, he accosted one of the Secret Service people and the driver saying, "You get me down there to that goddamn Capitol right now." That's how he talked when he was on January 6th. Yeah. That's what he was saying. "We're going to the Capitol." Something like that. Okay, well, the Secret Service, the dude actually said, like, yeah, that didn't happen. Okay. Of course, they didn't put that in the January 6th testimony, you know, that whole show trial committee thing that they did. And then the other thing is, this one came out last week, was the report also concludes that Trump did, in fact, instruct his staff ahead of January 6th to offer 10,000 National Guard troops to the Capitol for extra security, and that the tragedy could have been prevented had police, Washington, D.C. officials, and congressional leaders better heeded intelligence suggesting that there would have been violence that day. Basically, in one of these 1,000 interviews that they did, where they only told us what came out in about 400 of them, in one of them, someone said, yeah, he asked the mayor of D.C. To put 10,000 National Guard troops out there. And they were actually worried about Antifa because Antifa had been doing whatever they call it, counter-protesting and just, you know. Remember 2020? That year, the TV show, that year that we went through?
Yeah.
So he wanted 10,000 National Guard troops out there, and they're like, no.
We don't need them.
No, we don't need them. So the question is, if Trump was trying to have a little coup himself and an insurrection.
Well, he was probably going to use the National Guard to help.
Well, yeah, that's what it, see, they prevented the actual coup right there. Was Washington, D.C.'s National Guard was actually going to do the takeover for him, I guess. I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know how that went. Anyhow, why did they withhold that? Why
was that not? These were 10,000 National Guard troops that were hand-selected by Trump. Yeah,
specific ones. Judging by what radio talk shows they listened to and whether or not they like the word bloodbath, stuff like that. So anyhow, just keep that kind of thing in mind, that all this information we have from January 6th was actually this very partisan committee that was all Democrats that put together an actual TV show thing on Capitol Hill produced by a dude from NBC. And that a lot of things have stemmed from that. A lot of the narrative that the public has, Colorado used the January 6th committee thing and their decision for that ballot. Georgia worked with the January 6th committee and their decision to bring charges against Trump and stuff like that. And it turns out they're using this, and we don't actually know how many exculpatory items are in the testimony from the 1,000 interviews that they conducted. We only know the ones that they wanted us to hear, and the rest of them are, from what we can tell, locked behind an encrypted file that someone has the password to, and they can't get in it. It's probably a password. I don't know if they try a password or just all zeros.
Yeah.
Potentially.
With the dollar sign for S's, yeah.
So anyhow, I just wanted to mention that because so many people mentioned January 6th and their bloodbath comments. That's all we got. We got to go.
Well, and you mentioned it because it's just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's kind of a shame that a podcast about liberty has to turn into basically shills for Donald Trump, even though don't really like the guy that much.
So the actual thing there would be, we're not shilling for Donald Trump. We're shilling for the truth.
Yeah.
In even if it's the truth in the context of a person that we don't like and that we're not going to vote for and haven't voted for, it's still important that people make decisions, you know, based on things that actually happened and not on whatever the January 6th committee put out there for them or whatever, you know? So that's why we're here trying to tell people.
Facts over feelings.
Facts. Yes.
I still feel, you know, very disturbed though.
Are those facts or feelings?
Just by the word blood.
Oh yeah.
Bath.
And I don't like baths. They're gross.
Yeah. I like to take showers.
Yeah. Who takes baths? Like, I'm dirty. Women. I'm going to get in the bath and women. I'm going to sit in my dirty bath water.
No shock. It's women.
You know, it makes no sense.
Women love baths for some reason. Are you surprised?
No, not at all. All right. So coming up, we're going to be talking about some inflation, misinformation. Prices keep going up, of course. And we're going to do Dumb Leap of the Week on Liberty at Night.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
It's Liberty Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. There's a few things going on right now. There is one specific thing that happened a couple days ago as it pertains to the Ukraine and Russia conflict, and us, of course, giving more things to Ukraine. Now, there's this article here from the AP. It says the Pentagon will give Ukraine $300 million in weapons, even as it lacks funds to replenish U.S. stockpile. Now, that headline on its face, to me, sounds like something that should be illegal or criminal or whatever it is that you want to call it, that we're just going to keep giving away weapons, even though we don't have money to replenish our stockpile. What they're basically doing is holding the American people hostage because the president has the authority to do these drawdowns of our stockpiles. But right now, we don't have any funding approved to actually replenish all of the stockpiles. What they're doing is, oh, we're just going to give it away and basically put us in the position where you have to do it. You have to give the funding to replenish these stockpiles, obviously. And so I don't want to say putting the gun, people say, whatever, it's a pretty good negotiating position when you have the authority to just give away the weapons. And then what are we going to do? Sit here and say, oh, well, you know, we don't have these stockpiles. What are you going to do? Who cares? You know, so $300 million in weapons. Now, that's not very much in the grand scheme of things. Weapons are pretty expensive these days. It could be like 500 weapons for all we know. You know, it's not very much. But there
sounds like one weapon.
Yeah, just could be one. Who knows? There is something that is pretty annoying in here. And about 6 months ago, Charlie and I talked a lot about how the Pentagon had found an extra $6.2 billion that they were able to give in weapons, essentially, to Ukraine. And they did this cool little accounting gimmick where they decided that they were going to... They had messed up. Here was the story. They had messed up and they had accidentally... put down the value that it would cost us to replace the weapons when we gave them the weapons. And they realized what a stupid mistake that was. What we should actually put
also
down,
called cooking the books. If
yeah.
What, you know, if you were in a regular business.
What they realized they should have actually done was put down what we paid for the weapons like 25 years ago. Because, of course, that's the actual value of the weapons, not what we would have to pay to replace the weapons. And somehow this worked for a lot of people. They were like, oh, yeah, see, they found an extra $6.2 billion. And I know, I'm sure, plenty of other people talked about it. I'm not just trying to, you know, talk about how we were right and no one else was right or whatever. But I didn't hear a lot of people talking about this idea. I'll be honest with you. About how the chickens were going to come home to roost on this and that we were clearly going to replace these weapons and that it was going to end up costing way more money than what we were saying it was going to cost when we were giving them these weapons. So 6 months goes by, and now all of a sudden, we're $10 billion in the hole when it comes to replacing our weapons.
Now, I have a question, though. Is this is this multiple overdrafts? Like, are they going to have several fees?
Well, the fees have been capped now.
Or is this just one $10 billion overdraft on their account?
Who pays that? Does Ukraine pay the overdraft fees, or does the president pay the overdraft fees? What do you think it is?
I don't know. Those overdraft fees are probably predatory, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
they are
predatory banking practices.
I think we should outlaw the fees.
Yeah.
What we should do. The Pentagon will rush about $300 million in weapons to Ukraine after finding some cost savings in its contracts. Even though the military remains deeply overdrawn and needs at least $10 billion to replenish all the weapons it has pulled from its stocks to help Kyiv in its desperate fight against Russia. And it's the Pentagon's first announced security package for Ukraine since December when it acknowledged it was out of replenishment funds. It wasn't until recent days that officials publicly acknowledged they weren't just out of funds, but they are $10 billion overdrawn. Mm. The announcement comes as Ukraine is running dangerously low on munitions and efforts to get fresh funds for weapons have stalled in the House because of Republican opposition. U.S. officials have insisted for months that the United States wouldn't be able to resume weapons deliveries until Congress provided additional replenishment funds, which are part of the stalled supplemental spending bill. Pentagon officials said Monday during the briefing talks they were counting on the supplemental the cost to cover the $10 billion replenishment hole. I can't read this early in the morning. I'm too tired.
It's coming. Guys, we can go in the hole. It's fine. The
just
money's coming.
Spinning. They're going to do it. You know why? It was what I was saying when you were outside the room. You keep giving away the the weapons. The president has the authority to do this drawdown. What are we going to do? Not replenish our stockpiles of weapons? Of course we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's a great negotiating position to be in. We're just like, yeah, I'm going to give away the weapons. Okay, you have to replenish them. You've got to replace the weapons. So well, you're screwed.
Have to. It's, you know, more than likely.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good idea to have some stockpile considering the amount of time it takes to make stuff and all that. This is the second time in less than 9 months that the Pentagon has found money to use for additional weapon shipments to Ukraine. Last June, defense officials said they had overestimated the value of the weapons the U.S. had sent Ukraine by $6.2 billion over the past 2 years. At the time, Pentagon officials said a review found that the military services used replacement costs rather than the book value of equipment that was pulled from the Pentagon stocks and sent to Ukraine. The discovery resulted in a surplus that the department used for presidential drawdown packages until the end of December. This discovery resulted in a surplus, and oddly enough, here we are, $10 billion in the hole.
That makes so much sense.
When it actually comes time to replacing the weapons, what? I just can't figure it out. They can't get enough accountants on this thing to figure this out. How is it there were $10 billion in the hole? Well, it's because the weapons cost more than what we told them it cost when we gave it away. Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. Everyone knows this. Everyone knew it. They knew it. We knew it. Everyone knows this. This is not a surprise. The Pentagon is $10 billion overdrawn in the replenishment account, in part due to inflationary pressures, and in part because the new systems the Pentagon is seeking to replace the old systems with cost more.
Weird.
Such as the upcoming precision strike missile, which the Army is buying to replace the long-range Army tactical missile system, or ATACMS, ATACMS. Okay, so that's that story right here. The vast majority of those munitions have come from Army stockpiles due to the nature of the conventional land war in Ukraine. The months without further shipments of U.S. support have hurt operations. Ukrainian troops withdrew from the eastern city of Avdiivka last month, where outnumbered defenders had withheld Russian assault for 4 months. I know I already used the word criminal, but this to me seems like something that's criminal to give away the weapons, to lie about how much the weapons are valued at. And honestly, don't you think the defense contractors have something to do with this? What we're clearly doing is clearing out the old weapons that we bought 25 years ago to make way for reasons to purchase all of these new weapons that the defense contractors are making. And then they give those away at their book value and not at the actual value that the weapons will cost to replace the ones that they're giving away. This is such a simple problem that I don't have any other ways to explain it.
Still doing it.
Yeah. And they're still just going to do it.
And they're going to get away with it.
How is it even legal for them to do? That's what I'm. How is this allowed? How are there not congressional hearings about this? Well, why isn't anyone giving a testimony about this right now?
Well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, $10 billion is not. What is that? 30 minutes?
30 minutes.
Is that 30 minutes of government spending?
$10 billion. That's about 12 hours.
12 hours?
And okay. In Biden's new $7.3 trillion budget, that's about 12 hours. But in the current budget, it'd be like 15 hours, something like that.
Oh, so almost a little over half a day spending. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's not too bad. Okay, I guess we'll move on from this. The biggest point, not to try and turn this into a white pill or anything, is that, my God, we were so right.
We told you.
You know,
it was going to happen.
Everyone who listens to this show, because that means that you knew about this as well, and I don't know who else was talking about it, pat yourself on the back right now, okay? If you don't have two torn shoulders like I do, go ahead and pat yourself on the back. I need someone else to pat me on the back because it hurts too bad.
Yeah.
But go ahead and do it. You know, it just feels good, you know,
to be right,
Yeah. On a Thursday.
I mean, nothing's going to happen from being right.
But. No.
That's but at least you knew.
It's pretty much how we feel all the time. So it's like the same thing. Okay. Let's pivot hard to another topic of conversation that I find troubling. There's this study I saw a bunch of people posting about, a bunch of people on the left. A bunch of people with hammers and sickles in their profile names too, which is still such a weird thing to me that you can put a hammer and sickle in your profile name on Twitter.
And it'd be fine.
And it's fine. Have you ever seen a swastika in someone's profile
name? Which, by the way, is fine. You can have freedom of speech if you want, but the problem that there is no backlash for that. Like there would be if you had a swastika
yeah.
in your name. That's the ultimate issue. Or remember all those people walking around in their Che Guevara t-shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it was just fine.
Some people even wear stuff that has marks on it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. From the, what's this say, Global Strategy Group, there's a study. It's called Tax Fairness, a Guide for Advocates. And what they did was they sampled 1,000 likely voters over, let's see, this is posted on February 27th. I believe this happened in like the second week of February is when they did this survey. And it has to do with how people feel about taxes going up or down. Nearly 4 in 5 Americans, including large majorities across partisan and racial lines, support raising taxes on the wealthy and big corporations. In fact, the number is 79% of the people that responded to this survey, which is equally doled out between Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, responded saying that they support raising taxes on rich people. The most concerning parts of Republican tax positions are giving tax breaks to wealthy people and big corporations while making the middle class pay more or cutting programs people depend on like Social Security and Medicare. The most convincing pieces of Democrats' tax positions are cracking down on wealthy tax cheats and closing tax loopholes. And then it says, after exposure to the positions of the parties on taxes, trust increases in Biden and Democrats in Congress to handle the cost of living and to make the tax system more fair. So what they're saying is when they start off, people say, we trust Republicans more. We don't trust Biden very much to handle cost of living. Once the people are exposed to Biden's ideas on taxes they and all his programs, once they educate people,
edumacate them,
they end up trusting Biden a lot more on handling the cost of living and all that. So once again, 4 in 5 support raising taxes on rich and big corporations. Overall, that support is 79%. That is 94% for Democrats, 78% for Independents, and 63% for Republicans. 85% Black, 81% for Hispanics, 77% for White, AAP, Asian and Pacific Islander, I guess, 82%. Okay, so pretty even except for Republicans overall were lower on this, but still well over a majority support raising taxes on rich and big corporations. Like I said, I find these things to be fairly concerning. So Biden and the Democratic Party are...
And anybody that... It's because they think like, oh, I'm not going to have to pay taxes mm-hmm. as these other people.
It's something that we've been harping on all week, actually. We've talked about this several times, and then we talked about it when we were doing our State of the Union thing for Dumb Bleep last week. And then a couple other times this week. It's a pretty common theme right now. We talked about it with the new White House budget, the $7.3 trillion budget. You have to believe in the idea that there's going to be a free lunch. Like that, you have to believe that that's a thing, that you can tax corporations and the wealthy, and that it's not going to affect you negatively at all. You're just going to get the positive benefits from that. You're just going to be able to take money from the corporations, and it's going to go to services that are going to help you, and your life is going to get better. And it's not going to have any negative impacts. You have to believe that. And even 63% of Republicans believe this.
out of 1,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 1,000-person sample size. So, you know, there's a doesn't mean it's true for everyone or anything like that. This is Biden and the Democratic Party are more trusted on tax fairness. Republicans are more trusted to handle the cost of living. Now, I want you to understand this divide. Biden and Democrats are more trusted on tax fairness, meaning when it comes to taxing the rich and big corporations and making sure that people pay their fair share, people trust Biden on that. But they trust Republicans more on handling the cost of living. Now, Republicans are the ones who don't want to raise the taxes on the wealthy and the big corporations and, you know, fair share and all that stuff. So there's a complete disconnect in people's brains. Because they trust the one that wants to tax more on tax fairness, but they trust the one that doesn't want to tax more on the cost of living.
But
someone make that make sense for me.
That makes perfect sense, Nate. Of course. You know? Stop thinking about it.
Oh, they go through all these different questions through here. Like Republicans in Congress. This is a concerning, somewhat concerning. not concerning to you. So like pass a tax plan that continues to give tax breaks to the richest Americans and big corporations while making middle class American families pay more in taxes. Is that even the thing that happened? First off, I don't even understand that question. Like, you got the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that lowered taxes. There wasn't like, oh, they picked a they pick lower class and middle class and they raise the taxes on them and then they lower the taxes on the top tax brackets and for corporations. Like, I don't even know what
are these hypothetical. Like if Republicans in Congress
statements about Republicans in Congress position on taxes and the tax proposals they support and have passed. That's what it says. Please indicate how so concerning Republicans, you find each statement.
The tax plan resulted in cuts to programs that people count on, like Social Security and Medicare?
No.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act?
No.
That happened?
No. That's what, once again, I don't understand the questions.
Right.
That they're
also
saying.
The way they frame it. Like,
it's clearly framed from the left.
Right.
Like this third one down.
Or the second one, even. They passed a tax plan that continues giving tax breaks to the richest Americans and big corporations while making middle-class American families pay more in taxes.
Yeah, that's not...
Where does that happen?
That's not a thing that happened.
Yeah.
So...
that didn't happen.
The next one down was passed a tax plan where 83% of the benefits and tax breaks went to the wealthiest 1% of Americans. So clearly it's framed from the left because the way that you arrive at that number is that the people who pay almost all of the taxes received almost all of the benefits when they cut taxes.
Because like, they're the ones that are paying.
There's your tax bracket. Almost all of the taxes come from this tax bracket right here. All the taxes paid in. So when you cut taxes, even if you cut them across the board right here, almost all of the benefits are going to go to that group that was paying almost all of the taxes.
God.
I think that's pretty simple for everyone. Yeah, it's clearly, I didn't actually look at this, what is it, Global Strategy Group or whatever, guarantee it at some kind of giant left-wing think tank, something like that, just judging by the way they ask these questions. Passed the plan to give tax breaks to the wealthy and now want to give even more tax cuts to corporations when they're already gouging consumers with record prices and making record profits. That's a really great way to frame the situation.
After almost every single corporation lost money during the pandemic. By the way.
Anyway, a majority in each one of these categories find this to be very concerning or somewhat concerning, just so you know. So people are very concerned about these plans. People think Biden and Democrats are going to crack down on rich tax cheats. That's like funding the IRS and stuff like that. So whatever, that's fine. My biggest issue here was with this first one. It really could have been a dumb bleep. The fact that they trust Biden more on tax fairness, but they trust Republicans to handle the cost of living. And you got two opposite plans there when it comes to taxes. Like, they want the high taxes on the rich, but they trust Republicans to handle cost of living, who are people who don't want the high taxes on the rich. It just doesn't make any sense. And once again, this all boils down to, it's concerning to me that so many people answer saying that they want taxes to go up, like on big corporations and the wealthy, because that means that they truly don't think that's going to affect them at all. And as we've already said, probably in like two episodes already this week, taxes on corporations aren't paid by the corporations, they're paid by the customers.
Yep.
It is an expense. It's like shipping, it's like material costs, whatever, taxes.
Cost of goods.
It is a cost of doing business. And so all you're talking about doing is raising the cost of doing business on the corporations. And then you expect that
for customers.
Yeah. And you're saying that that's not going to affect the price of all the goods. So I think we just got to end public schooling, man. I think that's the only answer that we have right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of something else that could have been in Dumb Bleep of the Week that I wanted.
I also said for more information, go to navigatorwhatever.com.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
And go to navigator.com sometime.
No, not navigator.com. It was something else. Navigatorsomething.org. If you go back to the study. Yeah, navigatorresearch.org.
Okay.
So.
Might check that out. See what other fine print we can find on the study. The next thing here from Sheldon Whitehouse, who is a senator from the great state of Rhode Island. talking about inflation. Now, one thing we didn't talk about this week really was that the CPI number came in kind of hot again, higher than what was expected. People are thinking that maybe the Federal Reserve is not going to be lowering interest rates even in June, which is pushed back because they thought they might do it in March. They pushed it back to June, and now we've had a couple months of hot inflation in a row. The economy is still growing, like GDP is still going up and all that. Honestly, you know, I'm sorry if you're someone who's looking to get a house or anything. There's actually no reason for the Fed to lower the rates right now. In fact, I would be an advocate for them raising rates right now because they need to. we need to get back to what rates used to be, honestly, on the cost of money. So, but whatever, we're at like 5.5% or whatever the number is right now. Whatever, that's fine. Why would they lower it? Right, that's the question. When you still have inflation that's over 3%, what's your trigger to lowering the rates? You know,
right?
It's not down to your target 2% inflation that you're looking for. So I don't know why they would. Anyhow, so we got that hot inflation reading, and some people, get this, Charlie, some people think that Joe Biden has some of the blame on this.
He does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're part of the problem there.
So does Trump.
You're not. Yeah, that's true.
By the way,
so does Trump. And you know why Trump has part of the blame?
Spending.
Climate change.
Oh, that's... Oh.
you're forgetting.
Oh.
When you think about Joe Biden having blame on inflation, what you're forgetting is this key inflation measure of home insurance. Insurance. That's the thing. And what you find is that Republicans want to do more fossil fuels, which is leading to more climate change, which is leading to higher insurance cost. Mm. Okay. And so while you want to blame Joe Biden for this inflation, just keep in mind, sorry, I'll just read the tweet. Republicans blame inflation on Joe Biden, but in fact, it's Republicans' fossil fuel funded climate denial that is driving this key inflation measure. Very clever wording. I want to give him credit for the very clever wording in there. But in fact, it's fossil fuel funded climate denial that is driving this key inflation measure. Or I could say driving this key inflation measure.
Protection. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster.
It's the new 3-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
What's up? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie. And before the break, we were talking about a Democratic congressman pointing out a key inflation measure. Now, how key is this inflation measure, Charlie? Let me just give you a preview. As far as the weighting in the CPI, it's 0.41. Okay? That's how key this
inflation...
Yeah. That's how key this inflation measure is. Yeah. Just so you know. Sheldon Whitehouse says, insurance is skyrocketing because climate disasters are worse and more unpredictable. And it points to
And also GM is sharing your data now. They're selling your data to insurance companies on your driving habits.
I saw that. So yeah. I thought you had to sign up for programs like that.
You do.
Yeah.
But it's in the fine print when people are buying these cars that they're not looking at.
Like smart cars, of course they're gonna have all the data.
Yeah.
You know? They know every time you press the gas pedal, how hard you pressed it. Like it's all in the computer.
I mean, it's people going from paying like $80 to $100 a month to like $300-$500 a month.
There's a really big thing that's changed over the last couple of years, and that's like break-ins and theft has increased dramatically. And people talk
due
about
to climate
how,
change,
probably climate change, because that creates
fear,
disproportionate poverty. Like people become impoverished because of climate change, and then they have to go out and try to break into people's cars to steal stuff. So yeah, it's still climate change.
Even people in the group here are saying their insurance doubled. Insurance gone up by over $150.
I guess, I don't know. Maybe Honda doesn't share this data. I don't know. My insurance hasn't changed.
I usually buy 6 months at a time, and I think, let's see, that was October, so I guess my insurance is due next month. I guess I'll see what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. We added my car. When we got my car, we added it to the plan. It cost $20 to add my car to our insurance plan. We have like crazy cheap insurance, and I think maybe it's 25 or 30 right now, so I guess that is an increase, you know?
Yeah.
It's like almost a 50% increase in it. So, okay, from this Fortune piece right here, Jerome Powell just revealed a hidden reason why inflation is staying high. The economy is increasingly uninsurable. Okay, that's one thing. So when you talk about either home insurance or car insurance, what they're going to try to link it to, because insurance is counted in the CPI data and insurance costs have gone up a lot. Now, what they're going to try to link it to is climate change. Okay.
That makes sense.
This is an article about
this
how...
This episode is all about how things make sense.
Yeah. This is an article about how insurance costs have gone up and they link it to climate change without mentioning how much property theft has gone up, car break-ins have gone up, car theft has gone up, without mentioning how much housing prices have gone up. Remember, you can ask, like, what's a bigger portion of home insurance, you think? Is it whatever risk there is from climate-related disasters? And we'll go more into this. Or is it the fact that your house is worth $600,000 and they need to insure it?
When a few years ago,
when it was worth $300,000 a few years ago.
Right.
You know, so which one of those really has more bearing on the cost of your insurance going up?
Right.
Is it the fact that cars doubled in price or whatever it was? Or is it the fact that climate change caused more wet roads? They literally have a study talking about how roads are more wet because there's more rain in some areas and driving in wet conditions can cause more accidents. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so in this article, they link to a study. That's good. We need to link the studies. Now, you would think the study is going to break down how much of these costs for insurance have actually been due to climate change, or weather-related things or whatever, but it doesn't. This is just a study of how much money are climate-related disasters costing Americans every year. And that's it. It's just like the number of things. You know, they say, oh, we had $1 billion hurricane or $5 billion hurricane or whatever.
And which, by the way, those costs are going up too. They because are. The cost of everything goes up.
Everything is going up.
Yes.
There's more homes. There's more people. There's,
so
even, of course.
So a natural, like if you had another Katrina, you know, which would be, you know, almost 20 years later, 2025. Let's say there's another Katrina in 2025. Whatever it costs to clean up Katrina in 2005 is going to cost more in 2025.
Way more. Yeah.
Because the cost of everything is way more.
It could be the exact same storm, not made stronger by fossil fuel emissions and stuff like that. No, the exact same storm.
Honestly, a weaker storm.
Yeah.
You could get a category four.
That's true.
In there.
Bertrand.
Name her Kathy, Katrina's sister, coming in there, hitting the exact same spot, probably doing less damage would cost more.
I think that you're absolutely correct about
that. That's because the cost of lumber and nails and shingles and roads and whatever else hurricanes do damage to, puppies, which is sad.
Puppy costs have gone up a lot.
Replacing all of that has gone up. Dramatically.
There you go. Hurricane Karen.
As we just said, in the last couple of years, almost everything has doubled in price, at least. Like, just over the last couple of years. It's insane.
So, I wanted to look into this a little bit. I wanted to look into the CPI.
And by the way, with inflation being over 3%, that means costs are still going up.
Yeah, that's not coming down.
Costs have not come down.
The rate at which they are increasing has come down.
I tell you, every time I go to the grocery store, I just can't believe. I went to Walmart the other day, and just to get a few things and walked out, it was like $175.
Yeah,
it was like I said, what?
How bad is it?
And they looked at me like, yeah, it's $175. What?
All right, so this study itself doesn't tell you how much of the cost is due to climate change or whatever.
When was the last time you went to the grocery store for less than $100?
I don't know. It's always over $100.
I used to go, and most of the time it would be like $75, $80. literally get a few steaks for the week, like ribeyes. I get a few sides. I get my milk and, you know, the standard stuff that I typically use. $75-$80.
You know, Paul Krugman says that you're crazy.
And now that stuff is at least $120 to $150 every time I go. It's just ridiculous. It's almost doubled.
I covered this pretty in depth one of the days that you were gone.
In fact, remember all those steaks I had in my freezer? Just over less than a year, the price per pound for ribeye almost doubled. I think I had a steak in my freezer from May of 2022 that was like $9.99 a pound. And then all the way up to $18.99 a pound for the recent steaks that I bought.
That's just price gouging from Big Pharma. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, with an F.
With an F, yeah.
With a piece of, with an F.
Okay. Going to move
from
into
Big Ag.
Back to what we were talking about here.
Bag.
Big which ag. Is that Sheldon Whitehouse says that this key inflation measure, you know, you can't blame it on Joe Biden, you blame it on Republicans. I wanted to tell you how...
And climate change.
Yeah, I wanted to... Well, that's blamed on Republicans, yeah. Yeah. That's what I said. I wanted to tell you how key this inflation measure is. So we're going to talk about insurance real quick. Okay. I pulled through this data today. Now, new vehicle prices have gone up over the last few years, but in the last year, they haven't really increased that much. Okay, so that's one thing to keep in mind. Vehicle insurance did go up a lot over the last year. Motor vehicle insurance right here, 20% inflation from February 2023 to February 2024. Now, I don't know what portion of that is due to climate change.
All of it.
I can't really tell you.
It's all of it, Nate.
But a really big portion of our CPI number comes to shelter costs. Like shelter costs are 36% of the CPI number. All right. Now, when you look at actual household insurance, that number over the last year went up 4.1%. Now, we're first off supposed to believe, like when you think about climate disasters, you think about stuff flooding your house, wind blowing down your house, whatever it is, a wildfire coming through, burning down your whole neighborhood and all that. Well, home insurance, you know, going up a bunch. And that was 4.1%. Okay. It's important to keep in mind that the weighting for that on the CPI number is 0.41, which essentially means it almost doesn't matter, but it does matter just a little bit. The next thing I want to tell you about is when you look at what he said, which is that you can't blame it on Joe Biden because we've got fossil fuel funded climate denial that's driving the key inflation measure. He said that this is a key inflation measure. Now, what most people are not going to do is even try to have the conversation that Charlie and I are having right now, which is how much this actually weighs on the CPI number itself. And the answer is it doesn't. It does, but almost none. Okay. So when you actually break this down and you say it's 0.4% and maybe it's 0.4% of the shelter, or maybe it's 0.4% of the entire thing, we'll never know the answer to that question. It actually weighs less than, say, I pulled another thing, dry cleaning services do on the CPI number. I didn't bring it into this thing right here. It weighs less than the increased cost of laundry services and dry cleaning services, okay? More important things that you can find would be things like food away from home, where that increased 4.5%, and that has a 5% weighting on the actual CPI number. Like, you could look at plenty of other things, the increased cost of used cars and trucks, stuff like that, or of new trucks, things like that, or of shelter costs themselves. And now you can either say that even if you look at this number, you could say, well, that's because of climate change. Well, how much of that number is due to climate change? Because at the same time, you've had a massive increase in cost of shelter itself, of houses. I mean, the value of my house has gone up almost 100% since the whole pandemic thing happened over the last few years. The value of Charlie's house has gone up a bunch during that amount of time. Okay, so do you think that's a bigger underlying driver of the cost of insuring your house? Or is it the fact that there's weather events? Now, there are weather events, Charlie, but how many of those are due to climate change? How many of them are outside of the norm? And due to climate change, or how many of them are just weather events? How many of them could just be due to the fact that we're still in El Nino right now?
And I think it's
the weather's kind of crazy at that time. Okay. So you're talking about a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 0.4% of whatever the number is. And you're trying to come out here with a tweet. And let me tell you why I brought this up, because this tweet's got over 3,000 retweets so far, you know, viewed by hundreds of thousands of people from a sitting U.S. senator, and talking about how, yeah, you want to blame it on Joe Biden, but actually it's this thing that is 0.00000001% of the inflation number. But no one's going to look into that, because people don't understand how they actually weight these things. We don't even understand how they actually weight these things, but we do understand that they weight these things. Okay? We can guarantee you that part right there.
There's a scale for CPI, you know? They weigh it. That's how they come up with the number, you know?
And
Jerome Powell steps on a scale every morning.
The more time I spend going through, because basically all my time is spent on Twitter. I don't even open up Facebook and Instagram and any of that anymore, which is bad when you're running pages on those things, you know. But I don't even look at those. I'm sure they're all the same, but my God, there's just so much lying. Is it lying? Do you think he knows?
I think it's misinformation, Nate, and we probably
misinformation?
Need a ministry of truth to watch out for this kind of stuff.
We talked about the same thing yesterday with the Robert Hur testimony thing, and you can scroll through the keywords and find exactly what you want to find about that. You can find your left-wing guy saying that they exonerated Biden and that Robert Hur didn't find anything and that this is a witch hunt or whatever. Or you can scroll through your right-wing people and they can say, oh, look, Biden's guilty of these things. He's old and senile, and that's what they said. And this is a double standard and all that because they're charging Trump and not charging Biden. Like, you can find whatever you want. And like yesterday, it bothered me because, like I said on yesterday's episode, you've got a report from her, you've got a transcript of the interview with Biden, and you've got the actual factual accounts of what happened with the documents and all that. And then you've got a testimony yesterday, and you've got an actual evidence paper trail of every single thing that happened.
And then yet people can derive multiple different realities from the same facts.
You can still create different realities. And now he's able to post, well, you can't blame inflation on Joe Biden because fossil fuel climate denial is driving this key inflation measure. Maybe he finds it to be a key inflation measure because it's important. Maybe he said key because you use a key to get into your house and your house has to have insurance. And so that's why it's a key inflation measure. You know, maybe that's what he meant by key. I'm not really sure.
Yep.
But now he's able to create for the hundreds of thousands of people that saw this post and the thousands of people that retweeted it, to create a nice, safer version of an alternate reality that exists where our current inflation, if it's not just from corporate price gouging, it's also from Republicans' climate denial, and it's not because of the money printing, it's not because of too much money chasing too few goods or anything like that. Well, it's actually now because of climate change and price gouging. Those are the top two drivers of inflation that we have.
Greed.
And greed.
Which is coupled with price gouging.
Actually, you know what? It's capitalism.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yep.
There's your problem.
Yeah.
And Putin. Thank you, T-Dub.
AOC nailed it. It's the only problems we really have. If we get rid of corporations.
Yeah.
Hear me out, you know? You just get rid of all of them. All of our problems will be solved.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Do we really need 12 different kinds of toothpaste?
Dang. No. We only need one. Right. And that's Sensodyne Pronamel.
Or is it just...
That's all you need.
Is it just one thing of toothpaste that we need?
You ban them all down to that one. Of course, that one's then going to increase in price, you know.
Oh, whatever.
It doesn't have competition.
Right. No, because that's going to be a good company run by good people who are not going to price gouge their consumers.
Well, we won't be using money anyway. Yeah. You know, I don't know what we're going to use, but those people are just going to produce that toothpaste out of the goodness of their hearts.
Why don't we just make stuff and then trade with people?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
You know, get rid of money.
Okay, let's get into Dumb Bleep of the Week. I know it's a little bit early, but we're going to get into it. We got seven things to go through from the Fed Haters Club. Number one. So Justin Amash is running for Senate, running in Michigan. He wants to be a senator now. He used to be a representative. He switched over to Libertarian Party for a little bit before he left office, and now he's running again as a Republican in this race. The only thing is, now I think he'd be a great senator overall. He did one thing that annoyed me, which was voting for Trump's impeachment. And I, listen, no fan of Trump, didn't vote for him either time, won't vote for him for the third time unless he's in prison. And I think that's the reason that this happened. Donald Trump has endorsed the guy, Mike Rogers, who's running against Justin Amash. Here's what Trump had to say, and then we'll go through some of Mike Rogers' history. Trump says, highly respected former Congressman Mike Rogers is running for the United States Senate from the great state of Michigan. Mike has served this country during a career loaded up with accolades and wins from the Army to Congress and now hopefully the U.S. Senate. Mike will work closely with me to enact our America First policies. He will tirelessly fight to secure the border, stop inflation, grow the economy, strengthen our military, veteran support, and protect and defend our always under siege Second Amendment. Mike Rogers will be great and a great and powerful senator for Michigan, and he has my complete and total endorsement. He knows how to win. Now, if you actually care about all of those things, you could probably also go for Justin Amash. There's one big difference between the two when it comes to Trump, and that's that Amash voted for impeachment, and I think he was also pushing for impeachment after the Russia thing, after the Mueller report and all that stuff. So we're on record, because we're recording this right now, we're on record as saying Amash maybe has a little bit of TDS, just a little bit, it kind of seems like, because he's very principled on a lot of things, and this one I just couldn't make sense of. But let's talk about Mike Rogers for a second. First off, more than likely, like I said, it sends back to this tweet right here, May 19th, 2019. Never a fan of Justin Amash, a total lightweight who opposes me and some of our great Republican ideas and policies just for the sake of getting his name out there through controversy. It couldn't be that he's actually a libertarian at heart and doesn't like doing things that grow the government or take liberties away from people and stuff like that, spends money that we don't have. It's just because he wants to get his name out there through controversy, Trump. That's right. If he actually read the biased Mueller report composed by 18 angry Dems who hated Trump, he would see that it was nevertheless strong on no collusion and ultimately no obstruction. Anyway, how do you obstruct when there's no crime and, in fact, the crimes were committed by the other side? Justin is a loser who sadly plays right into our opponent's hands. Okay, so that's what Trump has had to say about Amash in the past. I get all that, and Trump is going to hold a grudge, and he's not going to get over this. That's the way it is. But then when it comes to endorsing Mike Rogers, there's other weird stuff, like the fact that, well, let me just play you some clips here of Mike Rogers talking about FISA, Patriot Act type stuff. Now, remember, even in that tweet that Trump was just referring to the Russia collusion hoax and all that stuff, you're talking about people illegally spying on his campaign. How did they do that? They did it by using powers that this guy, Mike Rogers, is arguing for right here in this video. Here you go.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield myself as much time as I might consume. It's just important to remember that the due process protections of the United States are alive and well here. This is one of those programs that has an inordinate amount of oversight to make sure that we are not targeting Americans. Not only does the committee participate, but the Department of Justice has a separate review. There are strong internal reviews. And in the odd case where an American is intercepted, there have very strict procedures on how to destroy that information and correct that problem. And it has not happened hardly frequently at all is the good news, and which is why I think there is such bipartisan and strong support of our effort, again, to collect on foreigners who are in outside of the United States. Incredibly important. So I would continue to reserve the balance of my time.
All right. So he's super wrong about most of the things that he's saying there. So that's good. By the way, in the live group in the Fed Haters Club, people are talking about RFK versus Trump getting libertarian vote. I did want to tell you guys something. I know this might sound like the opposite of what we said last week. You know, I think on the RFK thing, and I like to be open to all ideas. Here's one way that I wouldn't just absolutely lose my, you know what, if RFK were running on the Libertarian ticket. I know this is completely aside from the dumb bleep we're talking about right now, but that's okay. It's a conversation going on in the live group, and that's what you can do if you join the Fed Haters Club at joingmail.com. You can completely derail the show if you say things that grab our attention while we're doing the show. But I wanted to tell you, if the Libertarian Party came out and said, if they came out and said, we do not support RFK whatsoever. He is not a libertarian at all. We don't like any of his things one bit. Even if he's right on something, he's wrong because he's right for the wrong reasons. They come out and say that. And then they say, however, we are hamstrung by all of the millions of dollars that we have to spend to get on the ballot around the country. And the other parties, they get federal funding and we don't. And you guys know the rest of the reasons that might be a good idea. If they come out and say that, and they say, therefore, we will allow RFK to run on the Libertarian Party this one time. So in 4 years, we will run an actual principled Libertarian candidate. Just to be clear, we do not support RFK. He is not a Libertarian. We do not support his policies. And we recommend, this is from the Libertarian Party right here, and we recommend that Libertarians do not vote for RFK. One more time, he is not a Libertarian. We do not think you should vote for him, but we will use him this time around so we can get ballot access all around the country and all of those things. So, yeah, that's fine though. People said no one would actually listen to that, and they might actually, there could be actual things in the system saying that you can't specifically try and game the system or whatever. I don't know if they've got rules set up for that. That's the only way that I would not just completely lose my mind if this were something that happened. That I'm not even saying that's what I want to happen. But if they were to come out and say that, so they at least took a principled stance of we're using you, we do not agree with you, you are not a libertarian, and this is going to help us out 4 years from now, at least they could take that principled stance on it. Anyway, let's get back to Mike Rogers. Okay, so he's bad on FISA, Patriot Act, privacy for citizens, stuff like that. That's actually something that hurt Trump and led to the whole thing that he's talking about hating Justin Amash for, which is after the Mueller report. And then I believe Justin Amash voted to impeach when it came to that Ukraine perfect phone call situation. And Amash wasn't there to vote for impeachment the second time around because whatever the new guy's name is, he was in, because that happened in early 2021. Coming up on a hard stop here, we got six more things to go through on Dumb Bleep of the Week, Liberty and Night on the Free Talk Live Network. Liberty Unite with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We've already gotten going on Dumb Bleep of the Week. We're in the middle of number one still right now. Had to take a quick break, of course, but this is the day where the Fed Haters Club brings us all the dumbest things from the week, and we get together, we present them to everyone, and then they vote on what the dumbest thing was. And we're talking about Mike Rogers. Rand Paul's also trying to get Trump's attention with this video, I think. It's just kind of funny to see that Trump is endorsing this guy. He's endorsing this guy over Amash. Why is that? It's because Amash voted for impeachment and was recommending impeachment after the Mueller probe, all that kind of stuff. Okay, here's this little 20-second clip.
I don't believe today, as I'm sitting here, that Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee in 2024. Don't believe it.
I don't think it's helpful for the President of the United States to attack the media. It's petty, and it's certainly below the stature of the office of the President of the United States. It's beneath the office in and of itself.
Actions and activities unbecoming of the office of the President of the United States. I don't believe today, as I'm sitting here, that Donald...
All right, so Rand Paul posts that out. Got a lot of views, 3.4 million views, almost 10,000 retweets by now. I think he's trying to get the attention of Trump by posting something like this out. The fact that this doesn't matter and won't matter to Trump is a bigger deal to me. I think this actually just has to do with a grudge against Amash for the whole impeachment thing. He doesn't care that Amash is actually for smaller government, would actually be for reducing the deficit, would actually be for restoring more of our rights and liberties, the rights and liberties back to the people, you know, decreasing the size of the government, all that kind of stuff. None of that stuff matters to Trump. This is a personal vendetta against Justin Amash. And you should keep that in mind when you think about Trump. Okay, let's move on to number two. The TikTok ban. That's not a ban, but it's a ban. If they don't want to be forced sold to another company that the government can control. Ben Shapiro posted an op-ed at the Daily Wire. I'll read a little bit of that. I also listened to his thoughts on this. I think maybe it was on his show yesterday, potentially, something like that. He's got stupid ideas on this, so we'll read a little bit. TikTok is getting close to being banned in the United States. That's a good thing. This is from Ben Shapiro, not from me. The House of Representatives has now passed a bill, 352-65, that would effectively force TikTok to divest from its Chinese ownership, which makes perfect sense. ByteDance is a parent company. Its parent company would have to sell its share to an American company controlled by the U.S. government, which would make TikTok, I added that part in, which would make TikTok significantly less of a threat to national security. TikTok is a viral psyop that was created by the Chinese government. It's incredibly sophisticated algorithmically in that it's amazing at picking up viral content and then magnifying it. I'm not saying I completely disagree with that line that it's a viral psyop or that the Chinese government is trying to use this to sow dissent, discontent in America, stuff like that. I also definitely don't disagree with the fact that it's amazing at picking up viral content. I mean, it was the first platform we had where we, and now this is kind of funny, right? We're a libertarian podcast and you hear the ideas that we're talking about. And back before TikTok caught wind of how well the channel was doing for the first year or so, you know, we could post a video within a day or so, it would have 50,000 views, 100,000 views, 150,000 views, some of them up to a million, stuff like that. And that's us talking about like libertarian content and economics, stuff like that, making fun of Joe Biden. And in comparison to all of the other apps that we have the ability to post the same videos on, it blows all of them out of the water. Same video might get 2,000 views on an Instagram reel. And that video could get 50,000 on TikTok or 100,000 on TikTok. And so why is it that TikTok was pushing those things? I don't know. Something in the algorithm said people are responding to this, or maybe it's just because they wanted to kick up some debate among people in America, something like that. I'm not really sure, but it was really good for us for a long time until all of a sudden they flipped a switch on it. And you can see that clearly happen from one video to the next. Back to what Ben Shapiro was saying. But there are editorial choices made inside that algorithm about which content to magnify in the United States. The content that gets magnified on TikTok is the most politically polarizing, and it also tends to be the most socially contagious. Huge amounts of the LGBTQ agenda are pushed by TikTok, particularly the trans epidemic in the United States, an epidemic that cannot be explained biologically. And it, like, this is the conversation about TikTok, and he's going into this stuff right here. As evidence of this, a new Gallup poll found that almost 30% of Gen Z women now identify as LGBTQ+, most as bisexual. That is not evidence of TikTok. It's like you can't, there's no actual tie in this Gallup poll to TikTok pushing a certain agenda or anything. Like, Ben Shapiro is normally a fairly analytical guy, and making this kind of correlation causation tie in his little op-ed on the Daily Wire is really weird to me. No, you can't directly tie those two things together. I'm not saying they're not linked. That's not what I'm saying. And I think there is a social contagion and all that, but that's not what the evidence shows. You're just drawing the correlation between the two. I'm not going to read any more about the biological and LGBTQ+ thing. I will go ahead and say my point on this. You shouldn't be using the fact that you don't like the content an app is pushing as a reason that you should ban the app, or that the U.S. government should buy the app, or that a company in the U.S. Should buy the app. It's not relevant, is what I'm saying. Because you can't use that same argument for Facebook, for Instagram, for YouTube, for Twitter. Like, if you don't like the content, that's one of your reasons that it should be stopped. That's a pretty stupid argument, in my opinion. All of this is pushed by TikTok to destroy the U.S. Meanwhile, TikTok in China doesn't do any of that. That is true. They have a completely different TikTok than we do. What they're really attempting to do is dissolve the social unity of the United States through social division. That is the goal of TikTok, according to Ben Shapiro. This is not new. It's a long-time communist strategy. During the Vietnam War, the North Vietnamese understood they didn't have to beat the United States on the battlefield. Far from it, they weren't capable of beating the United States on the battlefield. All they had to do was keep up the internal pressure in the United States, push their agenda with the peaceniks, and then have the peaceniks undermine the war effort in Congress, thereby essentially handing South Vietnam over to the North Vietnamese. Just so you know, that whole anti-war thing that came out of the 60s, 70s, stuff like that, that was just communist propaganda. There weren't actually people in the United States that were against the Vietnam War, okay? That was just some crazy communist propaganda trying to take the U.S. from the inside. I'm not saying that there wasn't any of that, but also when you're conscripting people and you're fighting a war on the other side of the world and no one knows why the heck this matters to us, but there's tens of thousands of people dying, I also think that naturally it could pop up and there could be people that are against that. Anyhow, he says China is figuring the same thing, that if they wreck whatever social fabric exists in the United States through the means of culture, which is what TikTok does by creating this very highly addictive, highly watchable medium, and controlling exactly what people see while gathering data about them, they can divide the U.S. I'm not saying that that isn't the effect. I don't have any direct evidence that that's what they're specifically trying to do, but I'm not going to say that it isn't the effect that apps like this have, or the effect that Instagram Reels have, or Facebook Reels have, or YouTube Shorts have, or YouTube in general, or Twitter has. That all of those could have the same effect because they amplify things that make people mad. That's basically it. If they can do that, then they can undermine the power of the United States, not only at home, but in the world.
Mr. Speaker, I'm from Motown, where our music is...
Okay. I don't know why that started playing. Let me stop this video of Rashida Tlaib. That's actually my favorite dumb bleep, and I guess I hit the space bar and it started playing. Okay, here we go. Meanwhile, TikTok has been using all of its powers in an attempt to push people not to vote in favor of forcing ByteDance's divestment. Yes, they have been asking people to call their congresspeople or to call their senator or whoever it is and ask them not to vote against, as any company would. Any company in the same position would do this. That's just a fact. That's what they would do. Thus, critics of the bill argue the attempt to divest TikTok of its Chinese ownership violates the First Amendment. Their claim is that what users post on TikTok is free speech, and because free speech is protected, TikTok can't be collaterally attacked. I would mostly agree with that statement. The other argument against the bill states the property rights that are inherent in TikTok, these are Rand Paul arguments right now, inherent in TikTok are not all owned by people who are a national security risk, so they cannot be divested of their property without due process of law. That would be the Fifth Amendment. I heard Rand Paul make both of those claims. The claim, on the other hand, is going to be that this is a national security risk because it's the Chinese Communist Party that basically runs the place. So now the bill is going to the Senate. He says passing the bill is necessary. He criticizes Donald Trump for being opposed to the TikTok ban when he was seemed to be in favor of it, when he was the president, which is a bit of a flip-flop or whatever. The other thing that he doesn't mention, he doesn't mention what I think is the best critique of this idea, which is that this seems to be a pretty big power grab. And what I don't hear people talk about when they're listing off claims that people are making about the bill is the fact that it says directly or indirectly controlled by a foreign adversary. And they don't define what indirectly would entail. What does that mean? Does that mean that you have very strong financial ties to them and that indirectly they can sway you in one direction or the other in policies that you make on the app or in content that you allow or that you don't allow on the app? We don't know because it doesn't say what indirectly means. And that is going to be at the discretion of whoever the president is at that time. As we said earlier in the week, this could easily be used to go after Elon Musk and X because of all of Elon Musk's ties to China via Tesla. So the other joking thing I thought about yesterday was, you know, if it were just the left doing this, I would think it was the reason. What a lot of people are saying is this actually has to do with Israel. And that this whole anti-Israel or pro-Hamas or free Palestine movement, people that are upset about, you know, like 30,000 people dying, a lot of them just innocent civilians that are stuck in a terrible part of the world, I guess, while it's getting bombarded with bombs. That a lot of that has been fostered on TikTok, and that that's one of the reasons this is moving so quickly. The other obvious reason, I think, is that this is finally their way of taking down libs of TikTok. You know, people have been wanting to get rid of libs of TikTok here for a while. Now you get rid of TikTok, what's libs of TikTok going to do now? So maybe that's the whole thing. Okay, let's move on to number three, just a real quick one. Mayor Eric Adams from New York City. He says, now you all know that thing going on in Haiti, which we actually haven't talked about because I find it kind of difficult to find all of the information on the issue. And I don't really want to talk about it until I get all of the backstory on Haiti's history and exact programs and monies that have been sent and taken and all that in Haiti. Other than that, I'm just going to talk about like gangs doing bad stuff in Haiti. So anyhow, that's going on. Mayor Eric Adams says, "We call New York City the Port-au-Prince of America. We feel the pain our Haitian neighbors feel as the situation grows dire. To the people of Haiti and our own Haitian community here in New York City, know that we stand with you today and always." No, you don't call New York City the Port-au-Prince of America. Like until this thing happened right here and you wanted to try and grift off of it or whatever it is, like, no one says that. And in fact, there is a community note on this post. Community notes have been getting pretty funny lately. The community note for Mayor Eric Adams is, "Not one person has ever said this before Eric Adams." It's clear that he just made that up. And I don't know why you would go so far as to make something like that up, but no, you've never called New York's, like, oh yes, the long history of me calling New York City the Port-au-Prince of America. No, you're just being a politician, dude. Okay, it's super fake. Okay, see, just a real quick fun one right there so we can get into longer non-fun ones. President Biden is continuing this Next Benedict story. Really the hoax behind this story. I mean, sad story, you know, someone died. Looks like Next committed suicide. But this is that whole story where there was an altercation in a bathroom and people on the left were saying, oh, they didn't call the cops because of laws that were passed. You know, it says you don't call the cops or you don't call 911 or you don't get an ambulance there because there was a non-binary person involved. I'm not really sure. But anyway, the story was that Next had died from the confrontation in the bathroom, from a beating, from bullying that had occurred at the school because she was non-binary, okay? And that it turns out that was made up. Next actually committed suicide the next day. It was not from injuries sustained from this fight or anything like that. In fact, what you found out later was that Next was the actual aggressor in this confrontation. We don't have any actual reports or history of bullying that occurred, although I'm not denying that there might have been some, because that happens in school for sure. But basically, Biden decided to just keep pushing this narrative. The people who run his Twitter account decided to keep pushing this narrative solely for political purposes, clearly. But Biden says, "In memory of Next, we must all recommit our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children." So here's the statement. "Jill and I are heartbroken by the recent loss of Next Benedict. Every young person deserves to have the fundamental right and freedom to be who they are and feel safe and supported at school and in their communities. Next Benedict, a kid who just wanted to be accepted, should still be here with us today. Non-binary and transgender people are some of the bravest Americans I know, right up there with Navy SEALs. But nobody should have to be brave just to be themselves. In memory of Next, we must all recommit our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children. Bullying is hurtful and cruel, and no one should face the bullying that Next did." Do we actually know about the bullying. I've heard people talk about bullying. I'm not actually sure. Parents in schools must take reports of bullying seriously. My prayers are with Nexus family, friends, and all who love them, and to all LGBTQI plus Americans. What about the A? I didn't get the A, the non-A memo. For whom this tragedy feels so personal, know this, I will always have your back. The LGBTQI plus young people across the country, you are loved exactly as you are. If you're feeling overwhelmed or alone, you can call or text. And here's the National Crisis Hotline. And there is a special number to hit so you can talk to a LGBTQI plus specific counselor. Okay. Now, to this thing. Real quick. Next was the aggressor in the specific confrontation. This was a suicide. You know, one thing that bothers me, just like when they talk about how trans people are murdered at higher rates and that this is automatically hate crimes, like when you look at, here's how many trans people died from homicide or murder or whatever in the U.S., and you're immediately supposed to assume that that was because they were trans and not just because of whatever situation they were in at the moment, like any other person in the United States. We don't know for sure that that's why the suicide occurred, had anything to do with this confrontation or bullying, because we don't know about the bullying for sure. I don't want to deny Nex any agency of being depressed and suicidal like any other kid who's in school. It's not non-binary or transgender or whatever any of the other things are, you know? That this is something that's affecting everyone, whether or not they're a member of the letter plus society, okay? So I don't want to take away the agency of people to just be depressed or confused or whatever, just like normal kids are. The other thing that is more frustrating to me is that we have this sort of society and culture now when a kid becomes confused in this way, instead of saying, well, let's work through this, let's let some time pass and see if you make it through this period in your life and all of that. Instead, what we immediately do is start coddling that and we start affirming that, and we start telling that they're right and that, you know, that maybe it's, well, first off, you can go political and say, yeah, Republicans are passing these things to stop you from being who you are. And you don't actually approach the problem as if it's a problem that maybe needs to get solved with therapy that helps you get away from that specific thing, that specific direction that you're going. Like if you're a alcoholic drug addict and you go to a therapist, they're not like, well, you know, everyone just needs to learn how to love you as you just need to be you, you know, you just got to be you, you know, and let's find different ways to help you along your path as an alcoholic drug addict. Like, you know what I'm saying? They try and solve the actual problem, the underlying problem for you. And that's not what we're doing for kids these days. We're affirming. And I don't think that this is something to immediately start affirming. And I think that this is actually leading to a lot of suicides, not actually tackling this in the way that it needs to be tackled. And yeah, this is probably all TikTok's fault. So we got to ban that app. Okay. It's ridiculous that Biden is still that the White House is still pushing this when we've got way more facts in the case now. Why are they doing that? To try and get votes from people. This is just a grift. This is just trying to get votes from the LGBTQI plus community. I don't know what happened to the A. Someone will have to look it up. You never know what letters you're supposed to say from the plus, the letters plus community. Just trying to get votes, and it's sickening. Ari Drennan, just to piggyback off of this, says, every trans suicide is a murder. Remember Nex Benedict. So that kind of goes back to my point about removing agency from trans people as if they can't just be like normal people and get depressed about other life situations. You know, there's plenty of life situations that people can get depressed about and decide to make a bad decision one day and take their own life. Like, that's something that people do, you know? So you can't always just say that it is specifically due to whatever their sexuality is or their gender preferences or whatever it is. I'm not going to deny agency to these people. I think that they could be just like us and they could just get depressed about their job or something, or like a, you know, a parent dying or some kind of terrible thing that happened in their lives. So no, not every trans suicide is murder. Actually, no suicides are murder. And I would, that's what I would say. Okay. Number five, also from President Biden, also posting, well, this is not a statement. This is from Equal Pay Day. And we'll get into this one coming right up. And then we got a few more really good ones right after that on Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. Liberty at Night continuing with Dumb Leap of the Week. And unfortunately, we missed Equal Pay Day. And I'm sad about that, because that's one of my favorite days of the year. That's one of our favorite days of the year to do an episode, because it's an important day. You know, that's the day where women finally catch up to the productivity of white men from the previous year. And so it is a reason to celebrate. You know, they finally made it. They finally produced as much value as we did in 2023. And we missed that day, you know. But anyway, President Biden posts this letter from a kid who's in sixth grade, and or it's a letter from the kid's teacher or the kid's parents, but whatever, we're supposed to believe this is, first off, we have to believe this is a real letter. And then we have to believe it actually came from the sixth grader who sits around thinking about all these things and doing the math on all these statistics and just decided to send a letter to the president. So that's definitely something that happened, right? Biden says, today and every day, I'm fighting for Reese, that's the name of the person in the letter, and a nation where our daughters have the same opportunities as our sons. Because when women thrive, we all thrive. Dear President Biden, my name is Reese, and I am a sixth grader at school. It's blanked out. I am writing you from Bend, Oregon, to bring your attention to a serious problem. There is a gender gap when it comes to how much people are being paid, and women earn less. Did you know that a woman makes 80.5 cents from their job for every $1 a man earns? As soon as girls are old enough to take on the household chores and first jobs, they get paid less than the boys, according to a report by NBC News. It even impacts kids' allowances. This is posted by the President of the United States. Reese says it impacts kids' allowances. For example, boys earn an average allowance of $13.80 per week, while girls earn $6.71 a week. Can I get the stats on that? Can anyone get me the stats for this? Boys get a $13.80 per week allowance on average, and girls earn a $6.71 a week allowance. Hey, maybe that's because boys end up like mowing the yard and doing stuff like that, if that is true. I don't know. There's no way of knowing. This applies to all kinds of jobs, including sports like soccer. You're probably aware that the U.S. women's national soccer team filed a lawsuit because they were making a lot less money than the U.S. national's men's team. Yeah, they were making a lot less money than the national men's team all around. They were bringing in way less money, and they're making less money because of that, but whatever. Whatever, Reese. For example, in 2018, I can't read this week, men that made the World Cup roster earned $76,000. In 2015, women that made the World Cup roster, they would get $15,000. A judge recently ruled that they should be paid the same amount. Some people say the girls should get paid less because they think the boys are better at sports and smarter. Or they think that girls should be at home cooking and cleaning. But they think wrong, exclamation point. This pay gap is unfair. It hurts girls and women, their families and communities. For example, when women earn less, they can't afford the things they need in order to live. women also have to work more to earn the same amount as men work less. But have to work more to earn the same amount as men work less. That's not true. Men make more because they work more. Okay, I got to make it through the letter. Step number one, make it through the letter. Women should get equal pay. This makes me feel like women are worth less than men, but they are not. They are equal. Please work with the Congress to find some ways to make this fair and right for women to be paid the same amount as men. like Costco just said, men work around 15 hours more than women. Okay, everyone listening to this right now knows all the things that I could say immediately when it comes to the differences, this 80 cents to the dollar thing. First off, I'll start off with the annoying disclaimer where I say this does not mean that there is no sex discrimination, that there aren't terrible bosses who just decide that they're going to pay women less solely based on the fact that they're women. There will also be a lot of women who will end up making less because they are less likely to negotiate their salaries, because on average, women tend to be less assertive than men when it comes to negotiating things and in general. So there's one of them. Men also tend to pick more jobs that are just higher paying. Computer, software, coding, things like this. Things that pay way more money than, say, a teacher or a nurse or whatever. You work on a software, you work on code, and that code could be used for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands to millions of different consumers throughout the economy. You go and you teach, or you work as a nurse, you might be helping three people at the same time, or whatever the numbers are on how many people nurses can be working with at the same time. I don't know what the actual number is. You get the idea, okay? So there are plenty of reasons, and also, not to mention the fact that men tend to work more hours per week than women do. Basically, the entire pay gap is accounted for in those three things that I just mentioned. Then if you add on years on the job, consistent years on the job without taking a break for your family, to raise a child, anything like that, college degrees, all of that, once you actually equalize and normalize all of those things, what you'll find is that women actually earn more than men. In the way that I critique this, I have to decide whether or not I accept that a sixth grader actually wrote this and thinks these things, or if the teacher wrote it or the parents wrote it. It could be easy to assume that it's a teacher that wrote it or something like that. Or if you just went into ChatGPT and said, hey, write a really stupid letter about the gender pay gap, sounds like it's coming from a 12-year-old, then maybe you might get this spit out at you, potentially. If it is, in fact, a child that wrote this, okay, you can't blame the child who's in the sixth grade for being ignorant to all of the things that I just said. You can't. You can, however, be completely disgusted that our school system and our society would have led to a child thinking that these things are true, and you can be upset about those things. Or you could maybe accept the fact that the kid didn't write this and that this is written by a teacher or by a parent and then posted knowingly by the president of the United States just for purely political purposes. All the while, all of them are able to know why there are differences in pay. Like, everyone knows this. This is a thoroughly debunked myth. Anyone who talks about this knows this. They just say it to try and make people feel like they're victims, because when you make people feel like they're victims, you can portray yourself as the savior for those victims. And when you portray all women as victims, then you got yourself about half the country if you can convince them of that sort of thing. Okay, we got to move on. We only have two more. Number six, here we go. As some of you might know, I'm a former musician. I did the music thing for, 10 years. Something like that. And I also was a musician during the time when we transitioned from physical CDs and albums to streaming. Yes, it was long enough ago, kids, that my first one, two, three, four, all of my bands actually printed physical CDs. Why are we talking about music? Well, because Rashida Tlaib has introduced something called the Living Wage for Musicians Act. The Living Wage for Musicians Act. I'm going to play what she says, and then I'm going to tell you why I think this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Here we go.
I'm from Motown, where our music has changed the world in so many incredible ways forever. But artists in my district and across our country are struggling to make ends meet in an industry where the money just keeps going to executives and shareholders. It would take more than 800,000 streams per month to make equivalent of $15 an hour. The vast majority of our artists are on platforms like Apple Music, Spotify. And one of the things that even for them, they never ever get to 800,000 streams in a year. The Living Wage for Musicians Act, which I introduced for Representative Bowman, would change that by creating a new fund that aims to pay artists at least one penny per stream.
She mentions, like in this paragraph right here, it takes more than 800,000 streams per month to make the equivalent of a $15 an hour job. And the vast majority of music artists on platforms like Spotify never get to that number. I introduced the Living Wage for Musicians Act to fight for the fair pay that musicians deserve. Why should you be guaranteed a living wage as a musician? You're talking about streams per month. You're talking about streams per month on something that you recorded. When you record a song, I don't know, these days it might take a couple days to do it. Back in my day, it might have taken a week to record a song. Why is it that you should then, and for how long also, should you then be guaranteed $15 an hour out of 40-hour work week every month from something that you spent 2 days on? Then when it comes to fair pay that musicians deserve, let me tell you something about Spotify, because she mentioned Spotify in this. Spotify pays out 70% of their earnings to artists, okay? It's actually a really big cut. Goes out to the, well, not the artists specifically. It would be the people who have the rights to the songs, and then that gets distributed out from record labels and things like that. Spotify is a unprofitable company. They've only made profit in four quarters out of the last 5 years. They are massively in the hole as a company to the tune of negatives of billions of dollars. And they already pay out 70% of the money that comes in to the rights holders on the songs. So what would they have to do? They would have to increase their subscription costs for Spotify. Once again, this this article right here goes in, says that they pay out nearly 70% of every dollar. I'll get into the actual plan here, by the way. By the way, 10,000 artists generated at least $100,000 on Spotify alone in 2018, I believe. That's 10,000 people making $100,000. The whole transition over to streaming, it is rough because you tend to get paid less, but it's also better for many small artists who would have never been found because you would have never been able to get your CD into Walmart or whatever it is, or been able to tour enough around the country and see enough faces to get your CDs out there to people. It's actually been way better for smaller artists, more smaller artists than the previous system was. Now, you could also make the argument that record labels used to make a lot more money when people were buying physical stuff before, in the pre-Napster days, stuff like that, when everyone was still buying physical CDs. They would go out there and they would spend a bunch of money on these small artists that they found at a local show and cultivate that talent, and it could help some people out. But those days are gone, by the way. I don't understand why you should get $15 an hour for something that took you a couple days to do. And then I also want to know about, what about people who go around playing shows for a living? What if you're going on tour? Or you're not making a lot of money when you're on tour? I think you're driving for hours and hours at a time and going and playing a show. Do we also need to make sure the venues pay out the proper amount of money to people? no, we're not going to be able to do that either. And by the way, they're going to make this fund by taxing companies like Spotify, who are already in the negative because they already pay out 70% of their money that comes into the rights holders. They're going to do this by taxing Spotify and then creating a fund that would guarantee up to a penny per play, where right now it's like half a penny per play, that they're saying would guarantee people a lot more money. What's going to happen when Spotify, who's already in the negative, is then getting taxed in order to double the pay that's already going out to the artists? Spotify is going to raise all of their subscription fees. Why the heck is the government getting involved in this? I have absolutely no clue. Why are they also trying to do this right now? Bernie Sanders introduces the 32-hour work week. That's right. And by the way, the 32-hour work week, whereas right now we're at 40, he also wants you to work 32 hours. You could say 4 days a week instead of five, and mandate that you don't lose any pay, which, by the way, would equate to a 25% pay raise.
Today in America, 28.5 million Americans, 18% of our workforce, now work over 60 hours a week, and 40% of employees in America now work at least 50 hours a week.
Just so you know, those stats that he just talked about, the average weekly hours worked is 34.2. So he's talking about specific subsections and categories, which is less than what it's been historically. In fact, we're almost at the lowest amount of hours on average work per week that we've ever had historically. So he's picking specific subcategories of people and saying that they work this many hours at multiple jobs, clearly, which this law would not affect because it's not going to stop you from working 32 hours at one job and 32 hours at another job.
The sad reality is Americans now work more hours than the people of any other wealthy nation. And we're going to talk about what that means to the lives of ordinary people. In 2022, employees in the United States logged 204 more hours a year than employees in Japan, and they're hardworking people in Japan. 279 more hours than people and workers in the United Kingdom, and 470 more hours than workers in Germany. Despite these long hours, the average worker in America makes almost $50 a week less than he or she did 50 years ago after adjusting for inflation.
I can attack these in reverse order, I guess. $50 per week less after adjusting for inflation, while he's pushing something that's going to have massive inflationary pressures. Anyone who keeps their job, the people who aren't fired because of this, anyone who keeps their job is getting the equivalent of a 25% pay raise by working eight less hours and still getting paid the same amount of money that they were getting paid beforehand. There are arguments that productivity could be the same. There have been studies done in other countries that have done this where they went to a four-day work week and they saw the people were happier and that they were more productive for the 4 days and that the companies didn't actually lose productivity. That's great. If you want to show me five different companies or 10 different companies or 15 or 20 different companies that were able to move to a four-day work week instead of five and they were able to maintain their productivity, that's great. I'm not denying that that's not possible in some companies. I'm absolutely not denying that, okay? That doesn't mean that every company would be able to do this. You show me a study. Let's say it has 50 companies that were able to do this. And then you go to a country that's got a million companies in it, and you're going to say that all of them should be able to maintain the same productivity levels with people less working 1 day less per week. That's not going to be the case. My wife would be a great example. She's a very hard worker. She does work a little bit of extra time every day. She's really good at her job. She still does not get done all the stuff that she needs to get done during the week. There's absolutely no way she would be able to work 4 days without the company being forced to hire more people. By the way, price is going up because she'd still be getting paid the same amount of money that she's getting paid right now, and they'd have to hire more people to get the same productivity that they used to be getting. It's simply not something that could work across the entire economy. This one-size-fits-all thing for the entire economy is not possible. It just isn't. He talks about how we logged more hours than people in Japan and UK and Germany. We've also got a lot higher GDP per capita, much higher GDP per capita. The closest one was Germany, and I think we were number five, and Germany was number 17, Then the other ones go down to being like number 25 and number 30 on the list when it comes to GDP per capita. So yeah, we work more hours, I guess, on average. We're also way more productive. That kind of cuts against the argument that you can work less hours and be the same productive that you were. Also, you're comparing to much smaller countries. Japan has a lot of people, but then you're comparing to the UK and to Germany, which have the population of like a single US state, something like that. Really bad comparisons. Places with much less, many less companies. And that also do, you know, many more imports and stuff like that. So really bad comparisons all the way around. This is going to cause unemployment in a similar fashion that the minimum wage causes unemployment. Because if you have someone that's going to have to work 32 to get and get paid for 40, they're not even if they were as productive as the 40-hour person in the old world, now they got to be super productive, hyper productive. They got to be someone who can do 40 hours worth of work and 32 to make them valuable to the company, because that's what you're having to pay them. So it's in effect, another way, like the minimum wage can cause unemployment, this is going to cause unemployment as well. What about new hires? Are you going to bring in new people and they're going to get paid the same as the other people who are currently working there that were working 40 and are going down to 32 but keeping the same salary? And you're going to hire a new person that's going to come in at 32. They're new to the company. You're going to pay them like you used to be paying the people that were making 40. Maybe you might have to because of comparisons on people's salaries and HR and all that stuff. We're probably going to get less benefits, less new hire benefits, less new programs, stuff like that. Okay. Not everyone can actually be productive like this. This would kill productivity. You can look at the productivity numbers of these other countries that do this and see that they have much less productivity. It's in the numbers, for Christ's sakes. Let's see, I got a few things. Yeah, that's where in the law it says that you can't decrease someone's pay when they switch into this. Average weekly hours of production and non-supervisory employees total. Let's see. This goes back to 1965. At that time, we were at about 38.2. Right now, this is actually down around 33.5-ish, something like that. So keep in mind where he said, well, people were making less money than they used to. They're also working less hours than they used to. And then when you're just talking about full-time people, let's say you do a 40-hour work week for people. That doesn't take into account, he says, they're making $50 less with inflation, while he wants to push a massive inflationary program. That doesn't take into account benefits that people have been receiving, which really started spiking up in the 60s and 70s and 80s. People getting more benefits, 401ks, healthcare, stuff like that, that employers are paying. That's not taken into account when you look at those stats. You look at average weekly hours, you see this line moving down from just say 38 to 33 and a half. Look at a median usual weekly earnings, wage and salary workers over the 16 years of age. This is real weekly. That means they take CPI into account. This number actually goes from 335 up to 370 something. So that's actually gone up. And then here's just a really good chart to show you. You've got the total amount of hours worked and the total amount of employees. And the line at the top is the total amount of employees. And the line at the bottom, the white line, is the total amount of hours worked. Now, if people were working the same amount of hours, what you would see, because this shows the percentage increase over time. This starts in 1956. It shows the percentage increase. So like 190% increase in the number of employees and 128% increase in the number of hours. If people were working the same amount of hours, you would see 190% increase in the number of employees and 190% increase in the number of hours. But what you see is that there has been a much greater increase in the number of employees and not a greater increase in the number of hours worked. So that also is another way of looking at that stat. Let's get the votes in, everyone. We got to go. I said this is going to, I always say this at the end of the episode. I said this is going to be a shorter episode. We did 7 dumb bleeps and it still took an hour. How about that? Let's go to the voting channel. By the way, you got to join the Fed Haters Club because for the last half an hour, I'm not sure anyone has heard anything that I've talked about at all. They're all talking about the Libertarian Party and RFK and Trump and I think, lesser of two evils and three evils and strategies and all that kind of stuff. That's what everyone's been talking about this entire time. So maybe everyone isn't aware of all the stuff we've been talking about. But anyway, go and get your votes in. The Living Wage for Musicians Act is going to be the winner today. Thank you, because that's the one that I thought was the dumbest. Close runner-up was Bernie, 32-hour work week. We'll see you again next Tuesday night on Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network.
This is Mark Edge with Free Talk Live. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com is one of the best real estate agents I've ever worked with. I've been through about 24 real estate transactions in my life, and I feel like I know what I'm doing, but there's always the things that you don't know that you don't know. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com found a problem with the house that I was buying that ultimately saved me $65,000. He's a consummate professional, holds his people to his own high standards, and I would unequivocally recommend him for any real estate purchase in New Hampshire. Don't sell yourself short. Contact PorcupineRealEstate.com.